welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
So, days of favour, it is upon us. Why do we call it days of favour? Because it's a time when we remember the grace of God. It's the same word. In Greek, it's charis. It's the favour, it's the grace of God. Okay, it's operating under the fact that God gives, God enables, God anoints according to grace, not according to what we deserve. And everybody should give a big amen at that, because we don't deserve very much when we think about it, really, do we? And so this week is remembering that, and it's looking to heaven. It's remembering really that Lord's Prayer, you know, Jesus saying, your kingdom come, your will be done, here on the earth as it is in heaven. So sometimes we talk about reaching up to heaven and pulling down what is in heaven and releasing on the earth. And did you know that's one of our jobs? It's one of our tasks that God has set to us, that we're a people of faith taking hold of what is in heaven to release on the earth. Your kingdom come here on the earth as it is in heaven. Starting with myself and then everything else I see. I want to be that person that's like Jesus. That's releasing the kingdom of God in my life is someone that says Jesus is more important than I am. Which is why we can have weeks like this, prayer and fasting. Somebody asked me about whether this was going to be, is this a command? Is this something we must do? Absolutely not. You can never, as one another, command people to pray or command people to fast. Okay? Jesus came to fulfill the law. And the fasting isn't particularly in the law. It was a practice. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's have a look at what we're doing with this whole thing of days of favour. Okay, so it's just a quick chart. And I just want to give you what I believe are four key scriptures for this week. Now, Shona and I chatted about this, and we've put up from last year's days of favour, or we will put up, the stones, the five stones. If you weren't here last year, you don't know what I'm talking about. But you'll see some scriptures up on the wall with that very tiny little ruddy man, multicoloured running man there in the corner, but much bigger on those, because there were some scriptures that we used specifically last year, five of them. But I'm just going to give you four this year, because one of them refers really to the whole chapter in the book that I think is going to be significant as we meet and pray together. So if you've got a pen or something, I recommend writing down these scriptures as I give them, because you'll want to have these with you. Remember, most of the prayer we're going to be doing this week is not when we're together, it's when we're at home or when we're in small groups. That's really part of this. It's not about all coming to the summit, although we're certainly making the summit available. It's also about just us as people seeking God. All right, so there was two things that really stood out for me at Faith Camp, or two words. One was this word, and one was this word. Pray until. It was from what Karen Wheaton was talking about. But it was that determination, that persistence, that I will pray until something happens. People often say, how long do I have to pray for? If I've asked for it in faith, I have to believe I've got it. So do I carry on praying? Yes, absolutely. You are praying through. Although God has answered that prayer, although the answer is yes and amen in heaven, you are praying for the manifestation of it to actually be here on the earth. So if you're praying for healing, and you pray for healing in faith, God answers that prayer. Okay? And then we want that body to manifest it. I mean, I like the instant miracles. How about you? The instant healings, they're the best. But sometimes you have to persist. If everything we pray for happened instantly, we would be a church of spoilt brats. If you think, if you give a child everything they ask for instantly, regardless of whether it's wise or foolish, they would be terrible people. We know all of them. No. So pray until is something that's underscoring, I think, all of this days of favour week and beyond. Because I think September actually is a month, the rest of September, is a month for us to really focus on prayer. Prayer for that release of God's kingship, God's lordship over us and over our town, that release of the kingdom of God. So we got pray until, but then the first verse I want to mention is this one, Isaiah 62 verse 1. You can see why I took it. There's a bit from it. I will not keep silent. I will not rest until. So it fits very well with pray until. And this is Isaiah the prophet. So we're going back before Jesus' time. And Isaiah the prophet has got this vision of what they should be like as a nation. Have you got a view, have you got a vision of what this nation should be like under God? Or have you totally, it's very easy to be sucked into the BBC's vision. Or the ITV's vision. Or the newspaper's vision. Or Facebook's vision. But have you, what's your vision under God for what God wants to do here in this nation? What are you giving authority to happen to? Last week, John spoke on authority. What are you using your authority as a Christian? In what way are you using it to see this nation different? What are you speaking out in prayer? What are you doing in practice? Because it's so easy to be sucked in Facebook criticism conversations. Trying to correct things, getting angry. I see it all the time when I look at conversations that Christians are having. And you think, we're losing the plot if we're just attacking one another in words here. Even if this is, you know, they're trying to scripturally prove something. It often gets nasty. And you sort of think they're trying to prove the love of Christ by swearing at people. And it's like, that's really not going to work. You know? So this whole chapter, in fact, Isaiah 62, I think it'll be a good chapter to have open in your Bibles as we go into this week. Let me just read the full scripture of verse 1, because that's just some highlights from it. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her righteousness shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. Have a problem with numbers and words. Zion is the city of God, the holy mountain. It represents the presence of God. So for the presence of God's sake, for the sake of heaven, for the sake of God's rule, I will not keep silent. That's a good thing to underscore over prayer. Let's not have lots of prayer meetings where everybody sits around and sort of in the pre-shampoo position, hoping that somebody's going to say something. Rather, let's have some prayer meetings where it's difficult to get out what you want to pray because everybody else is off on one. You know, and you're just having to say yes and amen to what they're saying. Also, when you're praying in groups, don't be scared to pray exactly the same thing that somebody else has just prayed. This is not bad, this is good. You're not getting a badge for original prayers. Oh, nobody's thought so far. We haven't prayed for Auntie Mabel in Eastbourne. I'll bring that up. That'll be original. No, we get into the flow of what God, the Holy Spirit, is saying to us. So a lot of the prayers will often be very, very similar. But you see, when we come together in agreement, there's great power, there's great release. It's actually really encouraging when you pray something and then the next person prays something very similar. Unless you're standing there thinking, well, that was my original prayer. How dare you steal that? It's a team. It's a community. It's being together. The success is what is prayed together. And there will often be repetition. There will often be repeating. But it's good. Prayer together is often a very powerful time to be using declarative prayer, declaring what you see of God. And that is kind of what, I mean, this is a personal declaration, really, Isaiah is saying here. I won't keep silent. I will not rest until. So for Zion's sake, for the sake of heaven, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake. Now, Jerusalem is the city of peace. But it's Jerusalem is, what Isaiah is referring to is the place where we are. God is at the center of our lives. Okay, so he's going, for heaven's sake and for earth's sake. For where God is in heaven and for where God is on earth, I will not keep silent. I will not rest until. And what is the until? Until, he says, her righteousness shines out like the dawn and her salvation like the burning torch. Isaiah knew nothing of what was to come in Jesus Christ. In reality, he knew it prophetically, in terms of the church. But what one thing today represents God in heaven and God on earth in one body? It's the church. So here, in this prayer, although it's still it was prayed over the people of Israel, and it's still relevant to the people of Israel, we inherit the promises that were given to the people of Israel through Abraham. So when we look at this prayer of bringing down heaven here on earth and continuing to pray until their righteousness and their salvation shines out. It's about seeing a people who are right with God. That's what righteousness is. It's about being right with God. It's being in the right place with Him. It's understanding who we are. But it's a righteousness that doesn't come across as judgment, but a righteousness that comes across in love and is attractive. But that then leads very neatly into salvation. And people seeing that there is a need for salvation. A lot of people today don't see any need whatsoever to be saved. I mean, that's been pretty much the case throughout history, to be honest. It's often been something that's mocked and ridiculed. But mocking and ridiculing and is often a devilish sense of humour anyway. It's a way of having a smiling face, but actually putting the dagger in, which is one of the enemy's specialities, really, isn't it? If you ever find in your own sense of humour, I'm not talking about ribbing one another and having fun with one another, but if you ever find that that last comment that you said that was funny, when you think about it, you thought, actually, that went in between the ribs, you join the other side for that moment. Because we're supposed to be building up... I don't know why I'm doing that to you. You're already getting picked on today, aren't you? But it's about building that person up and encouraging that person, not pulling them down. Humour, we often use it, particularly the British. We do use that kind of negative humour, but we're not using it to put people down, but we must be careful it doesn't. We are using it to build friendship, don't we? The person that you can insult the most is the one you're closest to. That's how British use the sense of humour. But just be careful that the person you're using it with understands. Anyway, it seems to have gone very, very quiet in here. This is just God stuff. We do have to watch our sense of humour. I think for a couple of people, there's a bit of conviction going on around the room, I think the Holy Spirit is saying. I'm not even preaching about that. Stop it. Get back to this. That's Isaiah 62, verse 1. So it's really bringing heaven down to earth and not resting until we see that. And unless Jesus comes back, we will not see that in our lifetime. Okay, the next one is also from Isaiah 62. It's a little bit further on. And it's really that phrase I've just put up there from it, all day and all night, they shall never be silent. You can see there is a theme here where the people of God are giving themselves to seeing an establishment of the kingdom. Hannah's going down to London. If she doesn't pray, she won't see the fruit that there would otherwise be. It's got to be under, and it starts with her because she's the person going, but then it starts with people who are supporting her. So that she is carried, taking heaven to earth. That's the message of hope that she's talking about. It's really, the message of hope is understanding heaven. Here's the full verse. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray to the Lord day and night for the fulfillment of his promise. Take rest, all you who pray. Give the Lord no rest until he makes Jerusalem the object of praise throughout the earth. Jerusalem here for us is the city of peace. It's the people of God. Okay? Let's give God. I love this. It says, give God no rest. Sometimes Christians have been called God botherers. Let's be God botherers. Let's give him no rest. Because that's actually what he's telling us to do. He's saying, don't give me any rest. You keep praying. I've given you authority to use. He is choosing to work through people. I need to move on, so I'll go on to the next one. So I got Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And that really is the purpose of fasting. It's not that that's the way to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Because if we only fast and we only pray, actually the Lord will come along and say, what do you think you're doing? Do I not care for the widow? Do I not care for the orphans? Are you not feeding the hungry? Okay? But it also begins with a prayer and a fasting that, because it's a practical way of saying, I will put God first over my comfort. The context, this is Jesus speaking, of course, and the context was he was talking about food and drink and clothes. The normal stuff that you have for living. Don't worry about the stuff that you need for living, Jesus says. If you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you anyway. See, sometimes people get worried that by giving time, money, their life even, to Jesus, they will somehow waste it. No, you will have more. You will be enriched. You will have everything that you need. Sometimes you catch this, and I'm not saying we mustn't study, I'm not saying this at all, but you catch this particularly with people doing their O-levels or their A-levels or university students who suddenly feel around exam time that they've got no time left to go to prayer meetings or go to church. That is the opposite of what you should be doing. These things will be given to you as well. That doesn't mean you can go to all prayer meetings and not study, because that's the opposite way around. That's just being lazy of studying. Studying is also a spiritual discipline. But you don't lose out by giving to God. God is not going to be your debtor. It's a really important thing to remember. God will not be in debt to you. I gave so much money. I'm not saying that you give money and God will give money. He may do. He will bless you. But he will meet all your needs if your focus is on him. No, we won't go there. Okay, so pray until the watchman. What are watchmen on the walls? They're the people that see first. You see the gifts coming. You see the provision coming. And you see the enemy coming. They are the first call to action. Whether it is to open the gates and make the barns ready for the grain, or whether it is to close the gates and call the town to arms because there's enemy on the hills. And that is the people that pray. Which should be all the people of God. We are the watchmen on the walls. What is happening? The enemy's coming. Right, call the church to arms. Provision is coming in. Get the church ready to receive from God. And that's what will happen during this week in different meetings. You will hear from God, or you will see, if you like, to use this analogy, what God is calling that group at that time to pray for. There will be times of standing against the enemy and saying, no further. You shall not pass. We have that poster for Days of Favour. We should have some printed out, John, to go on the walls of that one. We'll have Lord of the Rings on the walls. Lovely. But it's good. It's a reminder that yea shall not pass. But also, so I think that's a key thing as you pray. What is God calling us to pray for? Because we can't cover everything in every prayer meeting. Probably not even in the week. And don't worry about getting it wrong. You know, I might not pray the right thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Just pray so that others hear and can agree with you. If you say something really, really foolish, they'll throw you out one of the windows and it'll be fine. No, I wasn't supposed to say that, was I? No, they will just forgive you. They'll be more excited by the fact that you had a go. Don't just think, oh, I never say anything good. I'll just keep quiet. It's the enemy that wants you quiet because you are his warrior. You are his soldier. And one of the most powerful weapons you have is this here. What you speak changes things. Particularly when you speak God's word. Whatever you speak. If you speak negativity, if you speak poor things over your children, from your children, you will reap that. That's why it's so important to give them positive encouragement. If you keep telling them they're a little toe rag and they have pain in the neck, they will be your pain in the neck. You will speak it into being. Why have you got a bad back? Did you always tell your children they were a pain in the neck? And the stress and pressure has now done that? That's just a minor thing. That's not what every pain in the back is. But these things are real. We're being very real about what we are today. We cannot afford any longer to just let the enemy steal and rob from us. There's a big battle going out on the world there. And then Matthew 7:7, we've talked about this a lot, so I won't say much, but it's the passage about ask, seek, knock. Yep. Ask and it will be given you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Pray until. You know, it's funny, isn't it? When Jesus is asked to talk about prayer, he gives examples like the friend that's knocking on the door of his friend in the middle of the night to get provision. I found it interesting. The NIV translation, do you use that one? New International Version. It's not renowned for its flowery language. You know, it likes to be precise. But you know, when it writes down the how Jesus talks about prayer through this story of the man knocking on his friend in the middle of the night as being a type of prayer where you don't give up, it actually says, the way the NIV puts it is, because of his shameless audacity. I thought, wow, I thought I was reading the Message. You know, I thought I was reading some really super trendy version. But no, even the NIV says, the prayer, Jesus says, the prayer that you need is of a shameless audacity where you will not let go. The famous dog with a bone. You know, you are going to go for it. You are going to see what God has promised manifest. You're not going to allow the enemy to have that victory. I'll get some of these printed out as well, John, so that they're on the wall and there'll be a few available in the room, so you've got them as well. But if you've got those down today, you can begin, because this is Days of Favour now. Today, tomorrow, it's Days of Favour, okay, where we're releasing that which is of God upon us. This is something to get really excited about, because it's a time of change ahead, okay? Now, I'm going to have to speed up because I started quite late and there's quite a bit of important information I want to give to you. So I'm not going to preach any more from that that one. Let's move straight on. In fact, let's skip on a little bit. Pray until the discipline of fasting being part of that. Let's skip on a little bit more and just talk a little bit about fasting related prayer. All right, we all need teaching on prayer, but this fasting, it's like, why do we fast? It's the extra bit. It's the extra bit that enables breakthrough. It doesn't twist God's arm, but it puts us in a position of faith. You see, fasting is not really about I'm doing a marvelous thing for God. If you go into it with I'm doing a marvelous thing for God, you won't have a great time. If you go into fasting saying, I'm doing this because I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, then you will see something happen. Maybe that day, maybe that week, maybe in the time to come. But it changes things. This week of prayer and fasting, if the people, us, respond to this call, will change Kingdom Faith Yorkshire forever. I'm not exaggerating. It's not hyperbole. It's actually truth. If you look at the people who fasted, here's a quick list to save time. Moses the nation leader, David the king, Elijah the prophet, Esther the queen, Daniel the seer, Anna the prophetess, Paul the apostle, Jesus the son of God. We're joining a good list of people that fasted and prayed. If you want people post Jesus, Hilda of Whitby, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, John Wesley, Jonathan Edwards, Charles Finney, Charles Spurgeon, Smith Wigglesworth, Colin Urquhart are all people who have prayed, have fasted or do fast. You might not know every name in that list, but let me tell you, they are people of God. That did significant things in his name. So there's a list of who we are standing with when we do this. Who wouldn't want to stand with that group? If they thought it was important. Do you know, John Wesley, he was both anti-fasting and totally pro-fasting. He was completely against it for when it was imposed on people and sort of became legalistic and the law, if you like. And yet, he said Methodists should fast twice a week, Wednesdays and Fridays. And he wouldn't even ordain someone as a minister unless they did. So it was a wonderful contradiction. And yet, that was how important he saw it. It's actually a very, very old Christian practice to fast 2 days a week, separate day. Very, very old. Goes right back to the early days of the church. And funnily enough, it was Wednesdays and Fridays. I'm not saying you've got to do that, but maybe you are. Maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. And think, yeah, from now on, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give up my McDonald's. For some of you, you're thinking, yeah, I'll give up McDonald's. I haven't had one for 10 years, so that'd be really good. Well, then it's no sacrifice for you, and that's not fasting. You know, if you're a vegetarian, giving up meat is not cutting it, okay? Right, so that's who. What about then when you fast? When do you fast? How do you know when you should fast? Well, let's just run quickly through some things. The first thing, time to fast is when the Holy Spirit says to you. Some of you are going to find after today and after this week, the Holy Spirit is going to be mentioning this to you a lot more often than you ever imagined it would. You never thought that you would be someone that would have a practice of fasting in your life. It sounds hopelessly orthodox or, you know, churchy or religious or something. But actually, it's also part of our freedom. It's a freedom that we have that will be taken from us if we do not do it in the first place. In the sense of taking from us that there is a worldly government that comes in that removes the capacity to be like we are now. There was an article in the Times this week. A lady was writing an ordinary article in the Times newspaper, and she's talking about the evils of religion. She's referring, I presume this was the basis of writing this article, there was a university study done which got an answer back that 53% of people say they are not religious. And this is very interesting, because a lot of us would say we're not religious. But so her conclusion, and the conclusion of the study to some extent, but not in the same way, is that therefore this is no longer a religious nation and things need to change. And the article is, her proposal is, because of the evils of religion, and Christianity and Islam are put together, we're just terrorists. She does refer to Christians at one point as flat earth creationists believing in a fairy in the sky and invisible people. And such people, this article in the Times, not an extreme one, she proposes should not be allowed in government or business unless they renounce those beliefs or keep them very private. Schools, no religion should be mentioned anymore. Should be taken out of schools completely. Church schools should be handed to the government. There is no place for religious schools in our country. Religion is dangerous. Religion has never done anything good. This is the article, not me, obviously. If we don't stand, it will be taken from us. That may be just an article today. It's been fueled by, what's his name? Is it Rees-Mogg? Jacob Rees-Mogg? I can't remember his name. The conservative politician who's a Catholic that stated on BBC television that he didn't believe abortion was correct. And he was pressed and pressed and pressed. It was like the Tim Farron things where you're pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed. Even though he said, my personal views do not affect me as a politician. My personal views are not trying to make abortion illegal in this nation. Following that, there were calls that he was no longer suitable to be a politician. Because the think of the land says that that's wrong. The article did say that she thought there was a place for Christianity in the nation in terms of things like the old buildings being given to English heritage to remind us of our past and to appreciate some of the music and stuff like that, by which she meant old hymns, presumably. But that wasn't an extreme Facebook post. That was the Times newspaper. That's why we're called to pray and fast and remind ourselves of who we are and put the busyness of our ordinary lives to one side for a minute. Because the kingship of Jesus has got to be infused in everything we're doing. Do you agree with me? Well, the Holy Spirit can call you. It could be you develop this lifestyle of fasting where you're praying, I'm going to put aside one day a week when I fast. If I fast, or when I fast, I like to fast from an evening meal to an evening meal. It's like 24 hours. I don't even have to tell Kate. So, because there's no rearrangement of evening meal, which Kate usually takes responsibility for. So I can, because the thing about fasting is you don't advertise it, do you? You just get on with it. I'm not saying that's always the way. That works for me. It gives me a morning when I wake up where I'm already in the middle of that fast. Yeah, and then I can just go through to the evening meal. That's obviously, we'll come into that in a little bit. Are you still okay? Oh, good, excellent. Then there's times when we fast when there's an emergency. Just something happens that you want to get really serious in prayer about. It's a good, I'll take 24-hour fast as I seek the Lord on this. I think we've got to cultivate this seeking God attitude again amongst us and encourage one another into it. It can't really come from here. It's got to come from us. And then finally, this is what's happening right now, is a church leader or a godly leader calls a group of people to a fast. Not a command. And there will always be people that can't fast at that time, particularly of food, medical reasons, might be not advisable if you're pregnant, etc., etc. You know, if check it out with a doctor if you're concerned. Absolutely you should do. But a lot of medical authorities think fasting is good when it's done properly, of course. Anyway, if you chat to Dr. Nigel Fraser, Elka's husband, he will tell you, yes, fasting is good for your body. your liver detoxifies of all the rubbish that we put through it. It's not quite the big detoxing thing that some people make out, but your liver definitely is detoxifying. Getting rid of the stuff it needs to get rid of. It's like liver renewal. Let's go on to the next bit. I think, yes, we will. I've got other stuff, but we'll just go on to the next one. So that's when, those times. Why would we fast? I think we've covered it a lot already, actually. It's about worship. It's denying self. If there's something our modern world doesn't like, it's the idea that you might deny yourself something. What's the point of that? We're all self. Well, actually, we're not. We're actually looking to Him and to each other. That's what God is doing amongst us. Not in a fearful, horrible way, but this fasting is asking, it is seeking, it is knocking. It is being shamelessly audacious. I like that phrase. Boldly persistent, if you feel that's a little bit more, you know, your style, but shamelessly audacious. Shamelessly audacious. Shamelessly audaciously. Shamelessly and audaciously coming before God and pulling down the kingdom. Shamelessly and audaciously, we will come before God and say, Lord, it's time for more people to be added into this congregation because we want to see people in this town and in this region coming to know Jesus. Of their own free will, of their own decision, not because somebody's forced them, because that's rubbish. But people that get to hear about Jesus and their eyes are opened and actually, wow, I didn't realize that's what it was like. Shamelessly, audaciously, we will pray for that. Shamelessly and audaciously, we will pray that in everything we do, we won't be thinking, oh, because the provision will be there to enable all of the ministry that we're stepping into. Because it's got to increase. So that's why. It is a seeking of God. Right, next. And. The and is this, the other sort of secondary things. Don't get your eyes off the why, the seeking of God. There are some and. It is good for you. It is healthy. It reveals what controls you. Well, I'm irritable because I'm fasting. No, you're irritable because there's something irritable within you that God is revealing because you've actually taken a moment to seek Him first. Anything that comes out when you're fasting was already there. It's not the fasting that's created it. It's about being purified, therefore. It reminds us that it's God that sustains us, not food. This is secondary. It's very easy, especially if you say do a 3-day one or longer, to focus on the physical effects and lose the God effects. But, you know, it's interesting to look at them, but don't get focused on them. It's practically putting God first, testing ourselves. Seek me first, and all these things will be given you. And yes, it's about you will see personal needs met. And it is about victory over the enemy. But you don't fast just to have victory over the enemy, or your focus is the enemy. You fast to put God first, and you will see victory over the enemy. Do you see the slight difference? To see the outpouring of God. Jumping on, the last bit of this is the how. All right, just some practical hints as we come to an end. Now, how are you going to fast? First of all, children, it's probably not a great idea for small or young children to be fasting. Okay? So let's get that one out of the way. And as I said before, there can be medical reasons, but you can check with a doctor because you might find you can do more than you think. Maybe it's only wise for you to miss one meal. That's fine. That's still fasting. You've got to start, remember, where you're at. That was another whole preaching series. But also, you can fast, and children can certainly do with this one, if Jesus is first in their lives. Do not force them. Encourage them by all means. Teach them, definitely. But they can fast from the media, social media, Facebook, iPad games, whatever. It's 21st century technology getting into their lives. Or they could fast from sugary foods. That certainly won't do them any harm. No fizzy drinks for a week. I don't know. You decide as a family. Maybe as a family you'll do something like that. Maybe you always have juice on the table when you have meals. Let's for a week have water. Or maybe then you'll discover, let's always have water. I don't know. Okay? These are the things that you can think about. You could give up meat, unless you're a vegetarian and then you're not giving up anything, or a vegan. But let's talk a bit quickly about food. First of all, this is primarily where fasting comes in, obviously. You walk before you run. Nobody this morning, especially if they've not fasted before, should decide that tomorrow they're going to start a 5-day fast. It will be miserable for you. Okay, you've got to build up the ability to do that. It is a discipline. It'd be like saying, I'm going to go and pump iron, put on the heaviest weights because I'm here in the Lord. No, you're not here in the Lord, and you're not here in the Lord either, you know. You're here in your foolishness. So you need to be sensible. A good place to start is a 24-hour one. I mentioned that earlier. 24 hours is good. You usually miss two meals, whether it's, as I was mentioning, breakfast and lunch, or maybe lunch and breakfast. Go from lunchtime to lunchtime. It's up to you, okay? Essential when you fast is to drink lots of water. This is essential for your health. Do not do a water fasting from water fast, please. Okay? Some people think that's super spiritual. No, it's super silly. All right? The only time you ever do anything remotely like that, it would take an absolute word from God that that is right for you and this specialist incidents. And I can tell you right now, with the authority of God, no one here at this moment is being called to fast from water or liquid. Okay? Because it's a very special occasion. Very clear word and confirmed from God if it should happen in any way. So drink lots and lots of water. I mean, if you're not used to fasting, some people like to drink fruit juice. Go easy on your orange and maybe your tomato because of the acidity content. See how your stomach is. Okay? Some people will carry on drinking tea and coffee. I don't like to do that. That's something I like to give up. But if you drink a lot of tea or coffee, you probably want to stop that before, because you'll end up with a headache. But not if it's just a day. Not if it's 24 hours, you won't. I like to drink, even on a longer fast. Kate always knows when I'm on a longer fast, because suddenly the mint tea goes down. It's just something that helps me to do it. And please, for goodness sake, clean your teeth. And use toothpaste. All right, that's getting legalistic. All right, you do want to be trying not to swallow it because you do need to clean your teeth. Sometimes fasting makes your breath smell as well, so you definitely need to clean your teeth. One way to and this is really attractive stuff, isn't it? Yeah. I'm going to do this. I get no food and I get smelly breath, and I'll get a caffeine headache. Oh, I'm so pumped up right now. But one way to stop the breath is to drink lots. All right, it's to do with ketones being released in your body, and that comes out on your tongue, so you can clean your tongue. But also, if you drink lots, you will pee it away instead. Okay, this is fasting. Sorry, there's some practical things to think about. Now, if you've done a 24-hour, and maybe you do one or two if you're going to do that this week, even if you've never done it before, that would be fairly reasonable beginning. Once you've done that, you might move to a next step, which might be 36 hours instead of 24, or a 3-day fast. Now, a 3-day is very different to a 1-day. If you're going on to a 3-day, you really do need to make sure you're coming off coffee and tea and stuff like that, probably. Milk, it's not advisable. You might discover that you're more lactose intolerant than you ever thought. You might be okay, but I advise you to stay off milk. But it's food anyway, milk, isn't it? You certainly want to be not drinking sugary drinks. You certainly don't want to be on alcohol. And again, the real thing will be to drink lots of water during that time. Or fruit tea or something like that. You know, if you find, you know, water, fruit tea, something like that. And if you're getting really sort of, if you do get a bit wishy-washy, you know, don't be scared to put something like a spoonful of honey in your tea, just to give you a little bit of energy. Okay, particularly if it's not something that you normally do. Don't go silly. And if you start to feel really, really ill, stop and start eating again. Okay? You won't make yourself ill in 3 days, but if you're feeling really bad, stop and then try again another time or go back to taking shorter ones. It doesn't mean you failed. It means you started. The only ones that fail in fasting are the ones that never tried it. So, there we go. but don't stop drinking water. Oh, and if you do a three-day one, remember at the end, and certainly if you do longer ones, if you're going to do more than 3 days, you need to read up on this further, okay, about how to keep active in the right way during a longer fast. It's entirely possible, but you need to know what you're doing. But if you're doing a three-day one, when you finish, be kind to yourself. When I was at university, a friend and I, we decided to do a five-day fast because we'd done a three-day. So we were going to do a five-day fast. And we were students, so we weren't particularly wealthy. So we decided we'd have a celebration meal at the end of it. And so we cooked steak and chips. That was not nice. Oh, so no, go gentle. You want to re-break your fast with soup, vegetables, easy foods, not sugary foods, because they create issues, not acidic foods, and not oily foods either. Don't have oily foods straight away. Just have some soup or some vegetables, cooked vegetables, but don't cook them in loads of oil. Just, you know, and break yourself back in. And you'll enjoy the whole experience a lot more than if you have steak and chips, I assure you. Yes, but as a finish, please, if you want to do it longer, then go and read up some stuff. There's lots of stuff on the internet, but make sure you're reading good stuff. Don't just read, Auntie Mabel's guide. Find somebody who looks like they know what they're talking about spiritually and medically. So to finish then, around the room, I'm not sure where. Are they in the hub? See, Amanda's got one already. She's hot off the thing. It's some timetables for Days of Favour. This basically outlines what's happening. At the moment, we're in the Sunday celebration. So Days of Favour started. Monday, the summit is closed, but it doesn't mean that Days of Favour has stopped. We're going to, from Tuesday to Saturday, the conference area will be mostly open. The only time it isn't is Wednesday before 1 o'clock. And the conference area will be open from 10 till 4 just to use it for prayer. You can just turn up. If there's something that you specifically want to do, such as, you know, I want to meet with this group of people and pray for this time, Shona's going to have a timetable on the door where you could say, this is what we're going to do in that hour. Not so that others can't join you, but at least they know that's what we're going to be doing at that time. And it's no good me turning up for a quiet half an hour of meditation if the women's sewing circle are in there hitting the heavenlies for a breakthrough in revival in Scarborough. Yeah. They are. There are a bunch of prayers, that women's sewing circle. I'm sure there's one somewhere. There's some prayer walks listed here and where you're going to meet. Again, if you want more details on that, you need to see the prayer director, who is this wonderful woman of God here. Okay, if you've got any questions about this, you could also just talk to Shona, and she will try and help you with that. Also, in addition, there's a 9 o'clock communion here at the summit. We've gone through all kinds of times for when you have communion that's convenient for people, and there's always some people it's not convenient for, so we're just going to go for 9 o'clock again. Gives the maximum opportunity that anybody works in this building to be able to take communion beforehand. It's a short thing, no more than half an hour, absolutely no more than half an hour, where we take communion and pray together, okay, just to give that day to the Lord, a sort of seeking first. But again, none of these are things, oh, you must be at. These are just things that you hear from God on. And the evening sessions are led by different house churches, but that doesn't mean it's just that house church. You can join in with any of them. That's it, really. God Encounter does restart this week, but because we're going to be praying up there, we've decided that we'll actually have the God Encounter evening up there as well. Okay, just to sort of continue with our prayer time. So just to advance you. And then God Encounter will continue on Thursday nights. Okay? Sorry it's been a bit of a long one, but it's quite a major week that we are embarking upon. So I wanted to give you that information. Don't forget, the talk will be online if you want to go back again and get some of the practical stuff that I said. And I'll get that poster of verses up on Tinternet for you. But other than that, have an absolutely amazing week. Week of prayer, week of fasting. Oh, one last thing. Really important. Shona, we have a book, don't we, where you can write stuff down. And that will be upstairs in the conference area. Yeah. We keep a book. You might not be aware of this, but particularly focusing on when on the Wednesday morning prayer meeting that Shona leads. But during Days of Favour, the book will be there. You can use that for writing down things that God's saying to you, so that we've got a collective record as well. Okay? Be blessed. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.